just when I think y'all can't get no better, you go get better. Amen. That was absolutely beautiful. That was beautiful. Thank you, Jonathan and Beverly. You know, one of the things that really blesses my heart is to see God working in entire families. To see God changing the eternal destiny of a whole family. And that's what we've seen in Brother John and Miss Beverly's home. We've, as a church, watched them one by one come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So we thank God for them today. Listen, take your Bibles, open with me to 1 Samuel chapter 30. First Samuel chapter 30. I want to begin reading in verse number 1. And I want to talk to us this morning on this subject. The decisions that brought David to Ziklag. That's what I want to talk about this morning. Now just stay with me for a moment. It'll make sense, I pray. But the title of the message this morning is The Decisions That Brought David to Ziklag. Now listen to what the Word of God says. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, neither great nor small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. And verse 4 says, then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Father, thank you for this great crowd this morning. Thank you for grace and mercy that have brought us to this place. And now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will speak to us in a way that we can understand it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. May be seated. The decisions that brought David to Ziklag. I spent some time this week and this morning thinking about the power of decisions. Decisions is a powerful thing in this world, and they are powerful in our lives. Decisions have the power to take us up, or they have the power to bring us down. Decisions, believe it or not, decisions had the power to improve our lives, or decisions have power to destroy our lives. Decisions are powerful. Decisions have the power to bring us closer to God, more in line with the will of God, or our decisions will take us away from God. Don't ever underestimate the power of your personal decisions. Decisions, believe it or not. Decisions will either bring you into the glory of heaven or they'll take you into the horror of hell. Decisions are powerful. When we come to 1 Samuel chapter 30, we find David in a tragic, heartbreaking situation. He and the 600 men that follow him have lost everything that they had. Everything that they cared about, everything that they valued, everything that they loved, everything that they worked for is gone. The cattle and the sheep is gone. The wives and the children are gone. And the place that they once called home, this place called Ziklag, has been burned to the ground. It's a tragic situation. It is a sad day in the life of David. It is a dark moment in David's life. Because everything that he loved, and everything that the 600 men who had been so loyal to him loved is now gone. While David was away from home, while his guards were down, while his back was turned, the enemy, the Amalekites, came in. The sheep and the cattle is gone. The savings account is gone. The good furniture is gone. The fine home is on the ground, but most of all, his wife and his children are gone. The question that I want to try to answer this morning is, how on earth did David end up in Ziklag? David, in this text, is a picture of a Christian. He represents all of us who have been born again and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, those of us who have put our faith in the Lord. David here is a picture of the Christian. He represents those of us who have named the name of Jesus Christ. Listen, David here is an anointed man. He's a called man. He's an ordained man. He's a man that's on his way to glory. Right. Ziklag, you need to underline this. Ziklag is a picture of the world. Ziklag represents that place that is anti-God. It represents that place where people have made their own idols and they refuse and reject the worship of the true God. Ziklag is no place to raise your family. David is a picture of the believer. Ziklag is a picture of the world. It is anti-God. It is an enemy to God. It is a place that is in rebellion against God, and that's where David and his family is living. David was a great man of God. David was the man that God, when God looked down at him, God said, "This is a man after my own heart." He was a champion and a world famous worshiper and praiser of the Lord. He was a man that was mighty in the things of God. He was the man that God used to slay Goliath. He was the man that God used to humble the Philistines. And now David is living in Ziklag. You got to stay with me now. Because what happened to David can happen to us. The decisions that David made that brought him to Ziklag is the same decisions that many of us are making right now. And so this morning, I don't want to talk about how to get out of Ziklag. I want us to understand how we get to Ziklag. Because Ziklag is a terrible place. It is a place that no believer ought to be living. Now, in order to understand this text, and we'll preach this text next week, but in order to understand this text and the significance of it, we got to go back to chapter 27. So I want you to turn back with me to chapter 27. I want to give you this morning, for those of you who will hear it, who will receive it, I want to give you four decisions that David made that brought him to Ziklag. Remember, Ziklag is a picture of the world. It is located in the land of the Philistines, who were sworn enemies of God, and they were sworn enemies of the people of God. And David makes some decisions that take him out of the land of promise, out of the land of Israel, and brings him to the place called Ziklag. By the way, the word Ziklag means winding. It's crooked. There's no straight courses in it. You're going this way, but by the time you get through traveling, you're way over here. That's the way this world is. There are some of us here this morning that's trying to be friends with this world. We're trying to hang out with this world. And the more you hang out with the world, the more crooked things become. In chapter 26, David meets with Saul for the last time. For over 13 years, this young man by the name of David has been a fugitive from Saul. Saul hated David because Saul knew that David had been anointed by God to become Israel's next king. He was full of jealousy. He was full of envy. And listen, in order to hold on to his power and to stop the plan of God, he wanted to kill David. And so for 13 years, David is running from Saul. David is running for his life. He's hiding in caves and he's hiding in the wilderness. He's hiding on the rocks because Saul is committed and determined to kill him. In chapter 26, David meets with Saul for the last time. Saul is standing on one hill. David is standing on the other hill. And they're talking to one another. And when the conversation is over, I want you to look at what David says in verse 27, chapter 27, verse number 1. And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. And Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. Verse 2 says, and David arose. There are four decisions that David made that we need to learn from this morning. Because the sad truth is that there are many of us who have been saved by the grace of God, called for the glory of God, and we are living in a place that we have no business living as believers. He's in Ziklag, and he ought not be in Ziklag. And by the way, what we're going to learn next week is that anytime you live in Ziklag, there is a price you must pay. Now listen to me, folks. Listen carefully. You and me as believers and born again, blood-bought children of God, cannot live in sin without there being a price to pay.
Amen.
I want to say this clear. I want to say this loud. I want to say this without stammer or stammer. You cannot make a success out of sin.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Sin is sin. I don't care how you wash it, how you rename it. Listen. How you redefine it, at the end of the day, sin is sin. Listen, honey, you can go to the pig pen, get a pig, wash him, put him in silk, and at the end of the day, all you got is a clean, washed pig. David's got no business in Ziklag. Listen, he's got no business. One of the things I love about the scriptures, I love the fact that whenever God tell a story of the patriarchs, he tell the whole story. See, if I had been talking about one of my children to the world, because God is revealing this to the world, I would have just told them the good things about Marquise and Chris. I would have told them that they living in Ziklag. But whenever God exposes his people, he exposes everything. Because there is a lesson that we need to learn from the life of David. Now listen to me, folks. Listen carefully. The church will not be powerful. The church will not be productive. The church will not defeat the enemy when we're living with the enemy. Well, four things I want you to see, Solid Rock. They're simple. They're simple. Here's the first one. Four decisions that David made that brought him to Ziklag. Number one, he makes the decision to trust his instincts rather than trust in God. Listen, he makes a decision to trust his instinct. Listen, he's trusting his gut. He's trusting his emotions. He's trusting how he feels. And folks, whenever you and I start trusting our instincts and our guts and our emotions more than we do God, we're going to get in trouble. How many times have we made bad decisions and at the end of that decision, when somebody asks us about it, we say, well, that's what I felt like I ought to do. I want to tell you this morning, and you listen to me, take it for what it's worth. Your feelings will get you in serious trouble. You can't trust them. Listen, you can't rely upon them. They change with the wind. You can't live by your instincts. Listen, folks, you can't make eternal decisions on temporary emotions. He's living by his instincts now. When he fought Goliath, he was living by the word of God. When he dealt with the lion and the bear, he was living by the word of God, but now he's living on his instincts. Amen. You know why some of us ain't no more committed than what we are? It's because we're not living by the word of God. We live by how we feel. I don't feel I need to go to church today. I don't feel like I need to pray. I don't feel like the word of God is important. I'm telling you, my friend, listen to me. We got to stop living by our gut and start living by faith in the word of God. Amen. 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 Listen what he says. I want you to see this. This is beautiful. I just got four little points, or three little points, really, and we're going to go home. But listen, look at verse number one. And David said in his heart. And you know what he's doing? He's doing what every, he's doing what every idiot does. He's talking to himself. Listen, rather than talking to God, he's talking to himself. Let me tell you something about talking to yourself. Whenever you talk to self, self will always tell you what you want to hear. He said within himself, he said in his own heart, because he's living by his instincts. He's living by his feelings. And folks, your feelings will lie to you. Have you ever felt like you had to have something that you felt like you couldn't live without, and when you got it, you felt like you couldn't live with it? Amen. Don't look at your spouse. Your feelings, listen to me, you can't trust your feelings. There are a lot of us here this morning and we feel defeated. We feel like God don't care. We feel like God hadn't forgiven us. Listen, we feel like the church don't care about us, but those are feelings and they come and go like the wind.
Amen.
Look at verse number one again. And David said in his heart. He said in his heart. Now, let me tell you something. It's one thing to talk to yourself, but it's something else when you start answering yourself too. And so David is talking to himself, and he says, self, we need to run. And self said, I agree. And so look, listen, he said, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. He's gone from trusting the Lord to trusting his instincts, his self, his feelings. I can't tell you how many times in the past 8 years that I had to totally ignore what I felt in order to do what I know I had been called to do. Miss Garnet, there have been times in these 8 years at Solid Rock when I felt like I need to leave.
Come on.
I felt like I wasn't doing any good. I felt like that what we were doing here was just a waste of time. I felt like nothing great was happening. You can't live by your instincts. You can't live by how you feel. You, listen to me. If you depend on how you feel, because when you're feeling good, it's okay. But when times get hard and you don't feel good anymore, that's when you want to quit.
That's it. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Well, let me just say this right here. Go ahead and get it out of the way, because this here is kind of like a family message, because David ended up losing what every man ought to want to hold on to. He lost his wife and his children.
Right.
Amen.
And
I get tired of talking to husbands and wives that want to get divorced. And listen, the only reason why they can give me that they want to get divorced is that I don't feel like I love them anymore.
Come on,
come on somebody now.
Come on.
I don't feel like we can make it anymore. You can't live by your feelings. And that's what David is doing. Now, that's the first point. Listen, he makes a decision to trust his instincts rather than trust in God. I want to show you two passages of scripture that I want us to make our life scriptures. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. Everybody turn. Take your Bible. And you turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. I want us to look at verse 5. And 6. Proverbs chapter 3. Everybody mark this. We're going to make this a life verse here at Solid Rock. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. David, bless his heart, he's trusting in his instincts. He's trusting in himself. He's trusting in his feelings. In fact, he trusts himself so much, he's talking to himself. But the word of God teaches us that our trust is to be in the Lord. Listen what verse 5 said. It says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Amen. Listen, Solomon tells us what to do. Solomon tells us how to do it. And Solomon tells us the result of doing it. He said, this is what you ought to do. You ought to trust in the Lord. Somebody said, well, how would it do it? He said, with all your heart. Somebody said, well, what's going to be the result of it? He will direct your path.
Amen.
Go with me to Psalms 37. Look at Psalm 37. Look at Psalm 37. Let's start in verse number 3. David, who is the writer of this psalm, says, trust in the Lord and do good, so shall you dwell in the land, and verily you shall be fed. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. He said, commit your way unto the Lord. That is, you roll your way, your life over on the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Look at verse number 7. He said, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself because of him that prosper in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. David says, listen, David said, you got to trust in the Lord. You got to depend upon the Lord. You got to rest in the Lord. That's how we deal with the calamities of life. Amen. We trust the Lord. Amen. Now go back with me to chapter 30 of 1 Samuel. Number one, first thing I want to see is David. Chapter 27. First thing I want to see is David made a decision to trust his instincts rather than trusting God. But here's the second thing that David did, and it's right here in verse number 1 of chapter 27. He made a decision to trust what he could see rather than trust what God had promised.
Amen.
Look at verse number 1 again. And David said in his heart, I shall not perish one day by the hand of Saul. Now here it is. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape to the land of the Philistines. Listen, here's what David's doing. He's out there in the valley. He knows Saul is a sworn enemy. And he looks at what he has in Israel. And then he looks at what he thinks he can have in Ziklag. And he makes a decision based on what he can see rather than what God had promised. Let me tell you something that we didn't cover, but it's in chapter 16. If you go back and read it. In chapter 16, God has sent Samuel to anoint David king. He had already been anointed. He had already been ordained. And whenever God anoints you, it is God's promise that I'm going to do something awesome in your life. One of the decisions that brought David to Ziklag, and many of us are making that same decision, we are living life by our instincts and our guts, led by our flesh, rather than trusting in God. Here's the second thing we're doing. We're making decisions based on what we can see rather than on what God has promised. Can I tell you something? God promises that the greatest blessings that are in his storehouse will one day come to the church. You know why I hang around the church? You know why I have a plan on always being a part of the church? It's because I know that in spite of all of the difficulties and hell we're going through right now, the future is bright for the church. Oh, we got some great blessings headed our way. I hang out with these imperfect, mean, low down people because I know the blessing is on y'all. Amen. He started, listen to me. He made a decision to focus on what he could see rather than what God can promise. Now, listen. Let me tell you something. When you look in here and compare us to the folks out there, it looks like they having more fun out there than we are in here. Amen. Sometimes, listen, let me say this right here. Sometimes I wish y'all could see what the preacher see when he look at y'all. So sometimes we look like the most miserable people in the world while we're sitting up in church.
Come on, come on, come on. Amen.
Look like you've been baptized in prune juice. I have to wonder sometimes, how do some of us even get to gush the same joy to the Lord? Amen. Because when you look at us, now you may be different than when you're at the ball game, but when you look at us at church, we got no joy at all. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
If you was to go to the river, because a lot of folks on the river today, you know what you would hear? You would hear laughing and shouting. And you would hear people talking about how great a time they're having.
Come on. Yep.
And so when you compare, now watch this, I'm trying to carry you somewhere because I know this is the truth. When you compare what the church looked like now to what the world looks like, it's almost seemed like a no-brainer. I'd rather be with them rather than being here. But what they don't know and what we ought to know is that their fun is temporary. And our pain is temporary. And one of these days, we're going to trade our pain for God's glory, and they're going to trade their joy for the pains of hell.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
And so you can't make your decisions based on what you see, because what you see is one day going to change.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But that's what a lot of us doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. We're making decisions. Listen to me. We're trading in spiritual, eternal blessings that we need to make it through this life for what we can see that looks like what we need. Is this making sense this morning? David made a decision. Listen to me. I'm closing. This last one. David made a decision to trust what he could see rather than trusting the promises of God. Here's the final thing this morning. Look at verse number 1 again. And David said in his heart, I shall not perish one day at the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me. Underline that. I want you to listen to what he says. He said, there is nothing better for me. Folks, I want to tell you something. You're in a bad shape. Listen to me. You are spiritually blinded when you think there is nothing better for you than to run from the church and from God to this world. And the reason why this is important, because listen, this is not no ordinary man.
That's right.
David is an extraordinary man of God. And yet, at this moment, at this crisis, in this season, it's like David looks at his situation and he looks around and he said, there's nothing better for me. There's nothing better for me. Now, here's the final thing. Skip down with me. You can read verse 1, but skip down with me to verse 2, because I want to show you something. And David arose. And he passed over with the 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maok, king of Gath. Now here's my final thing, and we're through. David made a decision to seek God's guidance before he made this life-changing decision. Did you get that? He made a decision not to seek God's guidance before he made this life-changing decision. Let me just tell you this. Let me tell you what's not in verse 2. And David arose and got on his knees and prayed. That's not there. It's not there that David arose and gathered his 600 men and sought the Lord. No, David didn't pray. And folks, I want to tell you, one of the great tragedies in the life of a Christian is that we're guilty of making decisions without praying. Oh, my Lord, listen to me. I could give you some horror stories in Anthony Bledsoe's life, and he's suffering the consequences of some of them right now because I made some decisions that I didn't pray about, I didn't see God about, I didn't get God's counsel, God's advice, and it made a mess in my life. He didn't pray. The great man of God didn't pray. The man after God's own heart, he didn't pray. The man who slew both a giant, bear, and a lion, he didn't pray. He just got up because he was living on his own instincts, his own gut feelings, and he got up and he went to the land of Philistines. He didn't pray. He didn't pray. And there are some of us here this morning, listen to me. You're making major decisions, financial, relationship, spiritual, career, education. You're making decisions and you're not seeking God because you think you're smart enough to do it. How do a man of God, how do a woman of God end up in Ziklag? You stop praying. You stop praying. Here's homework, and we're through. Here's homework. I want you to look from chapter 26 to chapter 30 and see how many times it mentions that David prayed while he was in Ziklag. Read from chapter 26 to chapter 30 to see how many times the Bible records David worshiping God while he's in Ziklag. I can give you the answer. There's none. There's none. There's some of us here this morning, we're headed to Ziklag. We've already made the first two or three steps towards Ziklag, but the good news is that you can turn around today. You can turn around today. You don't have to spend a year and 4 months in Ziklag because that's how long David was there. A year and 4 months, the great man of God was in Ziklag, but you don't have to go to Ziklag this morning. You know what you can do? You can repent. You can confess to God that, God, I've been walking away from you. I've been walking away from Israel, which is a picture of the church. And I've been walking towards Ziklag, which is a picture of the world. And I want to turn around this morning before everything that I love and care for is gone. Maybe you're here this morning, listen to me, and you're unsaved. You don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The only thing I can tell you is that today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow belongs to eternity. If you die without Jesus Christ, you will force God to send you into the lake of fire. That won't be his decision. That'll be yours. You stand with me this morning.